So, like I said, this morning is just a little bit different because we're going to take some time. In fact, over the coming weeks, we are going to be taking some time to unpack our vision and our values as a Life Church family. And this morning, I want to sort of set the sort of context for that a little bit. And both this Sunday and then in 2 weeks' time, the 20th, I think it is, we're going to unpack the vision and try and put flesh on the vision a bit. And this Sunday, mainly by actually looking back a little bit and trying to go, this is how we've been trying to outwork our vision. And in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be looking forward. We're calling it our Vision and Commissioning Sunday. We're going to be looking forward to how we want to try and step further into that vision in 2019. So just in terms of the context, we have, at the start of last year, we tried to ask the question, why do we exist? What is our mission and what will we do to fulfill that mission? And thirdly, what are our core values? And here's the headlines that we came up with. Our mission statement in terms of why do we exist, is to love God, to make disciples, and to serve our communities across the road and across the globe. To love God, to make disciples, and to serve our communities across the road and across the globe. Of course, that's very big picture. So we also tried to say, well, what in particular over the next few years is our focus of how we're going to try and outwork that mission. And in essence, that's what people might call a vision statement. And this is what we determined as we look towards 2025, that our vision is to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond. To see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond. And that's what we're going to come back to in a moment, because that's what this week and in 2 weeks' time we're going to take time to unpack. But we also thought about our values, and there have been lots of things that we'd say are important to us. But in determining our core values, and in essence, that's to do with the how. What are the key principles that will serve as a template and inspiration for our action? Well, we're committed now. I could preach a sermon on each one of these as we go through. And actually, that's what we're going to do in a few weeks' time. So I'm going to resist that temptation right now. But just so you know what's coming, right at the heart of who we are and how we want to try and outwork our mission, our mission, is that we believe we're called to be Spirit-filled, Bible-based, people-loving, Christ following and outward looking in everything that we do. And so we're going to, over from the end of January, we're going to begin to unpack those values that are at the heart of who we are. But like I said, I want this morning and in 2 weeks' time to focus down more on this vision statement and to try and not just talk about the headlines of it, but put some flesh on it. So, what was that vision statement? Our vision is to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond by 2025. And so before we go back into worship, we're going to take a little bit of time to think about the 1,000 devoted Christ followers. Then we're going to worship together, and then we're going to think about transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond. And I guess when you see the number 1,000, it can sort of get you caught up with going, well, is it all about numbers? And the answer to that is definitely no. All right? It's not about numbers. But it is about a few things. One, the reason that 1,000 is there is it's us trying to respond to a prophetic word that was brought to the church about 25, maybe nearly 30 years ago, that the church would be a church of 1,000 people. And it's the sort of word that we've talked about but never done anything with. And it was a word that was received at that time, long before I was ever around and part of the church, but some of our esteemed members here were around. And it's something we believe was from God. And we felt like we wanted to identify that clearly and own that. And I guess also the other aspect of it is that we do believe that God is committed to people. And when we're not, therefore, what it's not about is numbers for the sake of numbers, but numbers represent people, and people matter. And you will probably know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people across our city who at the moment know nothing of the amazing love and hope and grace that there is in Jesus. And so alongside other churches who are trying to play their part in this city, and it's a privilege to partner with them, we are trying to say, yes, we're not just here to maintain, we're not just here to exist, actually we're here to step forward and see the kingdom extended and many more people reached. And so we unashamedly are thinking in terms of growth and expansion and more people. But as I say, it's not just about numbers, it's about people, and it's not just about people coming to know Jesus. It's about people coming to know Jesus and playing their part in his mission. That's what we're talking about. Not just 1,000 people sitting in some seats coming to a service. It's not just about church attenders. It's not even just about converts. It's about disciples. Devoted Christ followers. That's what we believe is in the heart of God and what we're trying to embrace. I want to read a few verses from Matthew 9. They're going to come up on the screen. Matthew 9, verse 35 says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. In other words, Jesus is doing his stuff. He's proclaiming the kingdom. He's healing the sick. He's delivering people of demonic stuff, seeing people set free. And then this is what happens. It says, when he saw the crowds, the multitudes, the thousands, he had compassion on them. Because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who was going to lay down his life for the sheep. And then he says this, he said to his disciples. It says, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. And as a church, we need to understand there is a harvest. There are people desperately in need of Jesus with open hearts who, if we represent him in the right way and play our part, can have their lives totally revolutionized and totally changed. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So he says this: pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Jesus is doing his stuff, but he knows that for his kingdom to really come, it involves other workers. So he says, pray for workers. There's so many people in desperate need. We need workers. Okay. We'll ask the Lord of the harvest for workers. And then guess what? As so often happens when you begin to pray, this is what happened. Very next verse, chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus, he's told them to pray. Now he says he calls them to himself, calls his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. In other words, the stuff that Jesus was doing, he's now giving them authority to do. He's saying it's not just about what I do. Actually, I was always coming to invite you into my mission to be one of the workers. And if you read on further on, he goes on to say, as you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Yesterday, I gathered this morning Sue Matthews, and therefore I'm guessing maybe quite a number of others, received I don't know if it was a text or a WhatsApp or something, from Anne Flatman. Martin and Anne are actually away with friends in Devon at the moment, and while they were in Devon, they saw this quote, which she had sent. A disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. And you see, that's the journey that we see these disciples going on. There they are, just enjoying watching what Jesus is doing. It's all great. But actually, there we are. where were we? Yeah. So the disciples move from just being recipients of the good news of Jesus and enjoying the ride to saying, no, you're taking responsibility for this mission, becoming a worker. And when we talk about 1,000 devoted Christ followers, that's what we're talking about. It's not just seeing people added to sitting on a seat, not just seeing converts, but radical disciples of Jesus who embrace his mission and say, yes, I'm part of this. I'm going to play my part. We'll leave that up for one moment, if that's right. And I'm going to ask, as we said, we're going to have a number of different people throughout this morning coming and briefly talking. I'm going to ask Judith Walmsley, who I can't see where she is, but I'm sure she is here, yes, to come up. Because I was trying to think about someone who maybe had gone on that journey over the last year. And there's probably a number of people, but one of those that I thought, I think I've just from a distance watched Judith going on this journey. And so I said to her, could we briefly interview her? And so she looks slightly nervously, but kindly agrees. And Judith, I know you would, I think over the last 18 months, you've gone on quite a journey. And you would say that your faith suddenly came alive and became real to you. How did, just in that last period of time, how did that happen particularly?
Okay, well, I think a lot of you all know that the death of my sister 2 years ago had a massive effect, and that brought me here to Life Church. She had an amazing faith that I didn't always understand. So the two things that really have impacted on me is my life group, which I love. There are 9 of us, and we have an amazing time, and I have really grown with those ladies, and they've helped me. And Alpha was a massive thing. What I loved about Alpha is that it wasn't about where you came from and what you'd done before. It was about the here and now and where you were going to go and move to. And we'd all come from different places. So it sort of, we fitted in and we started this journey together. And it was during Alpha, although it wasn't at a meeting, that I really felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life, having gone to church since I was a baby.
Wow.
So that has obviously had a real effect and kept the journey going.
Brilliant. So Jesus became real to you over that time, and I think for those around you, that was obvious and apparent and began to shine. I know you talked about sort of receiving like a peace that you'd not experienced before, etc. But the other thing I would have observed is not just like, oh, this is great for me, but I've loved seeing you, Judith, sort of stepping forward into things and going, yeah, and I want to now make a difference. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, first of all, I'm not a great thinker. I'm a bit of a doer. Give me something to do, and that's where I sort of am at my best. So I've just wanted to get involved with things and actually do things. Got involved. You can't say no to Helen when she asks you to help and do something. I was asked to help with coffee, and I can brew a cup of coffee. So it's just getting involved and doing, and I have really enjoyed that. And one of the things that we've done as life group, that's all of us, all 9 of us, is we've got really involved with Cherry Court. And the great thing
What is Cherry Court?
Sorry, Cherry Court is a sheltered housing complex just down the road in Sale. And we've been in and done quizzes. We did an afternoon tea. We did a Sunday dinner. We did a Christmas quiz at the beginning of December, I think it was. And as a result of that, some of those ladies, they came to the event, the Christmas event. They came to the carol service, some of them. We helped with a bit of transport to facilitate that. So, yeah, that's been amazing. They are really lovely. I hope that will continue. And then yeah. I got involved with Christmas Fair, baubles, a few mince pies were made.
Very good. Love
so again,
it.
It's just giving me the things to do. The other thing I've got involved with is Eccles Kids Club, which is really good. So I've committed a bit of time to that. I'd like to perhaps commit more in time, but at the moment I go once a fortnight, lovely bunch of children. And yeah, it's just taking those steps.
Fantastic.
As well as having time for me to absorb things, then you can go out and release it somewhere else.
Love it. So thank you, Judith, ever so much. Really appreciate this. And I don't know about you, but I believe there are hundreds of Judiths out across our city who are waiting to be ignited to find the reality of Jesus for themselves. And as they find the reality of Jesus, not just go, well, that's nice. But I'd love to think that in 18 months' time, there'll be a whole lot of people who at the moment we don't know at all, but we see playing their part in his mission. That's what believers in God's heart. And I guess the devoted followers of Christ is what we believe is really, really key for us at this time. If we're serious at all about 1,000, if we're serious about significant growth, it won't just come by trying to grow a big crowd of spectators. Actually, what really matters is that God does something in us that becomes explosive. And who knows whether there's almost something of a Gideon's army thing that needs to go on. Who knows how God's going to help to take us there. But I do believe that if all we do is try and say it's just all about having as many people just totally lukewarm and half-hearted, that will take us nowhere. Devoted followers of Christ are those who he's going to use to bring about transformed lives and transformed communities. And so that is quite a focus for us. And over this last year, we have taught on various, we've done three main series probably. I'm not going to test you right now. But we did Devoted, where we looked at the early church in Acts and some of the characteristics of the early church. We called it Devoted. We did Identity or Idolatry, as we tried to think about what it meant to be a child of the living God and what our identity is. Because when we really understand who we are, it helps us to live as those devoted followers of Christ. And we try to deal with and address different things that can become idols in our lives that can hold us back from pursuing the call of God on our lives and engaging in his purposes. And then we also, over this last term, looked at David and his Psalms, as we looked at someone who's described as being someone with a heart after God. And we tried to catch some of his devotion. And as we looked at the Psalms, you saw the way he engaged with the Lord and how what his devotional life was like a bit. We've tried to begin to think about how we can encourage people to be in meaningful relationships for sharpening and accountability. And I love what Judith said about Life Group, that the biggest context for her growth has been to be in a small group of other ladies that have met faithfully and regularly and have been a support and encouragement and challenge and provocation to one another. So, so important. It's brilliant to be able to gather like this and really important to be able to worship and gather and be part of a corporate community together. But there's something about the smaller group and the dynamic of sharing life with one another that is absolutely vital. And some people have begun to use, we've tried to develop a number of tools, but this is one key tool that we tried to develop, life transformation groups. Just chance, little thing that Al threw out, that can act as a tool in the way you relate, even if it's just one-to-one, sharing with one another and trying to be accountable to one another. If you haven't seen these and you want more information, we can make them available. I have loved the fact that I think most of the young people have gone out, but Life Youth have made a decision to really focus on trying to make disciples and see the young people catch the heart of God and become devoted followers of Christ. And one of the things they did is they put on Rooted, along with other churches from across the Salt and Light family, and a whole lot of our young people went to Rooted in October. And another thing that we've done more broadly for the church as a whole has been to run encounter weekends. We've had two men's encounter weekends, two women's encounter weekends, because we believe that encountering God transforms everything and changes everything. And so I'm going to ask just for a moment, John Laurie and Josh Barclay Watt, to come up to the stage, if that's all right. And I'm simply just going to ask them one simple question. John has been on Encounter, and lots of you have been on Encounter, so could probably answer similarly. A number of the young people went like Josh, but just going to ask them, how did that particular event, whether it be Rooted or Encounter, help you to become more of a devoted follower of Christ? So should we let you go first, Josh?
It's helped me read the Bible more, which for me has been quite a big deal because it's every day reading the Bible. I've used this app, which has been really helpful. But it's been important to me because it's like showed me more like the glory of God and like the amazingness of that, which is, yeah, I think it's really good.
So, and how did it help you to read the Bible more? What was it that...
It was probably we did devotional each morning with a group of people, which was helpful because I kind of thought before that it was like you read the Bible on your own and that's it, you just keep doing it. But I learned that actually, although you might be doing it on your own, you can like talk to other people, oh yeah, what have you read recently? And like it's kind of keep me accountable as well.
Yeah, very good. Fantastic. Thanks, Josh. John, what about Encounter?
There's probably two things actually. First thing is I put on weight because the food was absolutely amazing. I don't know, like in my job, I'm quite busy. So you don't get time to really relax and just spend time with God, or I don't get too much time. So it's just great having 2 days with other men that I got to know from Bury and Carnarvon, et cetera, and from Sale. It was a time for me of encouragement. So like talking, listening to testimonies, how others overcome challenges, understanding that we're not the only ones that are having those challenges. And I think with men as well, especially in Britain, we're told to be stiff and, you know, absorb challenges. But it was so, it helped me deal with some challenges. And I think also it kind of re-sparked a light as well. And I'm just going to quickly read. Is that all right?
Go on.
It was just a verse. So we're all encouraged. Isaiah 43, verse 4. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. And that stayed with me always. So it's reignited a fire desire to love others.
Very good. Brilliant. Thank you, both of you. Appreciate it very much. Brilliant. And I guess, you know, there is something about going away and making the choice to go away, whether it be to an Encounter weekend, whether it be to Maximize, whether it be a youth opportunity, that sometimes can just take us further on in our journey as becoming devoted followers of Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And as they do that, I guess one of the other things that we intentionally and strategically made the decision to do over this year, as we thought about being serious about seeing devoted Christ followers, was we felt like we wanted to intentionally invest into our worship. Part of what we're about is those that love God. And we don't want to somehow just go through motions singing songs. We want to be a worshiping people who love God with all our hearts, who are devoted to Him, who are caught up with the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. And so we actually decided to, for the first time ever, I think, appoint someone on our staff to lead our worship team and develop our worship. And it's been brilliant to have Rich Littlewood taking that role on and beginning to help us in that direction. But obviously it's not all just about Rich and it's not all about the team. It's about us, isn't it? And when we gather together, we can either just go through the motions or we can corporately try and look to really express our awe and wonder and devotion to Christ. And I would love it if over this coming year, one of the things that happened for us was that sense of being devoted Christ followers became more and more apparent in the way we worship Him together. And we're going to take some time to do that and just express our appreciation that He's come into our lives and He's changed us and He's invited us into His mission. Thanks, Lord. Amen. Do grab a seat again. Thank you. And I definitely on a personal level, I guess, want to say amen to those words that were coming through, and personally make my own response to that and say, yeah, I want to step into what you have for us. I don't just want to sit in the comfort of watching, but being a part and playing my part. And we're all quite English, so, you know, Paul shares about the forest and the expansion that God wants to bring, and there's definitely something in me at that point, and I hope in you, even though it may have been very anglicized, which wants to go, amen, let it be. We embrace that, we say, we agree, we look for that. That's an amen spoken by us. And I trust we're ready to do that. So we're going to... and one of the things to say is, if someone found themselves singing, as we were singing about Holy is the Lord, about Hold Me, Lord, and they just felt... They didn't sort of intentionally sing that, they just found themselves singing it, and they felt that there may be one or more people here who, just through stuff you've gone through, the most important thing for you at this time, more than anything else, and the thing that you need to hear this morning, is that he's ready to hold you. And he wants to hold you. And he loves you. And he knows everything that you're going through and all that you're walking through. And before you try and step into all the stuff that he's got for you, there's something about experiencing his hold and his love and his healing. And so if that's a word for you, I encourage you just to receive that and allow him to hold you and love you and heal you today and in the coming days and weeks and months. So we're going to sort of pick up again on our vision statement. So we've talked about our vision to see at least 1,000 devoted Christ followers. And I just want to focus for a short time on the transforming lives and communities in Manchester. And then we'll finish by thinking about beyond. And like I said, 2 weeks' time, we'll look forward a bit. I'm just looking back predominantly to try and put flesh on what God's put in our hearts and help us understand. This is what we've been trying to give ourselves to. There's a whole lot more that God's got for us, but this is how we're trying to build. And you will be aware, and I loved picking it up earlier on, is that we specifically and strategically tried to refocus life groups over this last year and to say that... Life groups weren't, we want them to be a context where people become more devoted followers of Christ, but also a context whereby they're engaged in transforming lives and communities together. And that we wanted that twofold element, as it were, in community, for community. And I know that, you know, probably different life groups would say they've found their way more strongly or less strongly in that, and there's probably a way to go. But we remain absolutely clear that our groups and our life groups should not just be a place where we just support one another, but where we reach out to the community that God has placed us in. And I loved hearing about Cherry Court and what they were doing there. And probably, if you went around and talked to different groups, there'd be different stories that would be coming through from different groups that are taking place. You will be aware, you may be aware, that at the start of December, as we look towards Christmas, we threw out the challenge to think about not just inviting people to Christmas events here, though we did lots of Christmas events, and it was a thrill to be able to welcome lots of people who probably in the past had not engaged with the church family into those different church events, and a real privilege to be able to do that. And I loved seeing so many different guests at the carol service here on whichever date it was. And actually, it's been a privilege. You may be here this morning, or you may have been here last week for the first time since the carol service. I've talked to a few people who came to the carol service for the first time, and then suddenly there were a couple of people I talked to last week that were here for the first time, you know, or the second time, as it were, having come to the carol service. I talked to at least one person this morning who came to the carol service, has come back this morning. It's a real joy to be able to welcome you, to be amongst us and with us as a church family. But we also encourage people to go and make a difference, be a blessing, be a light where you are, where God's placed you. Host some party, do something which will bless others. And I think Sarah and Haley are still getting the sort of news back from how that's gone with different people. And probably, like often happens when you try and step out and have a go, the stories are very mixed. Some people had a go and actually no one came. Others had a go and they had 30 or 40 people in their home. And just fantastic to be able to do that and what you started. I maybe we'll be able to say more when other stories come back, but we hosted something for just our road, which is called Fairway Drive. And we had 20 of us there. It was just a real privilege. And they were all going. We did, it was very basic. Mince pies, mulled wine, and sang some very basic carols in all sorts of funny versions. But they loved it, the sense of community. And as God's people, we are meant to play our part, to instigate stuff like that, to be a blessing to our road and our streets and our communities, to be a light. And they're all going, what can we do next? How can we build together? And God wants to use us as catalysts for that, doesn't he? We're here to be transforming lives and communities. And I guess, you know, we are clear that the emphasis is on transforming, not gathering. All right? Our vision statement is not to be just, you know, 1,000 people that are just gathering. No. 1,000 people who are transforming. That's what we're called to be a part of. Not just people and communities in Sale, but right across Manchester. We are the body of Christ. We're now called to do the ministry of Christ. And where Jesus went, he had an impact, didn't he? He made a difference. He brought about transformation. And as the body of Christ, that's exactly what we're meant to do. He brought about incredible transformation. Many of you remember, no, probably not that many of you, because I don't know how many of you. Some of you will remember that the very first Sunday we gathered in this building, I preached something called Welcome to the Aircraft Carrier. And the reason I preached that was because the picture that I felt God wanted us to have and to own was that it wasn't just about what went on here, but what got sent out into other contexts and places. It's all about what happens out there more than what happens in here. We gather together. It can be a base, can be a platform from which we're launched, but we are called not just to a gathering, but to a scattering, being lights all over the place. Some of you will have heard us talk about a chandelier, a prophetic picture that God gave us a number of years ago about lots of different expressions of light across our city. And we continue to hold on to that and believe God has called us. We may be as a building based in Sale. A lot of people may live in Sale, but we passionately believe we are called to our city. It's why we renamed the church, one of the reasons. What do we name it? Not Life Church Sale, Life Church Manchester. And then there'll be lots of different expressions of Life Church Manchester. And it's brilliant to have Life Church Heal Green. And it's brilliant to have other expressions of Life Church in Eccles and Stretford. And wherever you are, you're making a difference, bringing life and light across our city. So, refocus life groups, Christmas parties, Christmas events. We've run different alphas. We've had the privilege of running a couple of alphas in our home and seeing individuals going on a journey of encountering Jesus for themselves. We ran a holiday club for 110 people, kids. Well, 110 to 120, Sarah tells me, kids each day last February. And we'll be doing the same again this February. Privileged to be able to sow into kids' lives. And for many of them, it's a bit of a journey. You don't see the fruit necessarily immediately, but you're sowing something in. And I'm just going to ask Emma and Katie, who I can't... Yes, is there? Emma's just going to come and interview Katie to hear a little bit of her story as we get a flavour of how sometimes coming to know Christ and becoming a devoted follower of Christ is a journey.
Okay. So, Katie, can you tell me how you first linked into Life Church?
I came on the open day of this building because about a week there was a leaflet. So we came to the open day and then saw that there was a kids club, so me and my sister came to kids club.
Brilliant. And what was next?
And then I just carried through into youth and like went through that kind of route.
Okay, so just kind of linked in seamlessly into youth. Okay. And was there a moment for you, Katie, when you became a believer?
It was more of a journey. It was like, because I came from another church and came into this church, I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't know, like, didn't feel it. So it wasn't until like year 9-ish in youth where I started to listen. Hang on a minute, this is actually something that I want to think about a bit more. Yeah, it was more of like belonging before leaving rather than the other way.
Cool. That's great. And are there any significant people? Have people been significant in that journey?
I'd say definitely like Hayley and Sarah and workers like them. But then also, in a less direct way, there's the like the people over here that I'm like near that I kind of see and like see how they live through church and like in families. So like those kind of that section.
Yeah, that ghetto section over there. So you love kids, don't you? Yeah. So you serve.
Yeah. I serve in Rockets.
Okay, so you're working with the kids. Is that where you're seeing families?
Yeah, and seeing them like other people picking up kids and the kids like interacting with them and seeing like the family element of the church helps me to like lean into that kind of family value.
That's cool. That's great.
Really
Thank
good.
You very much.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kelly. Brilliant. And I love watching, you know, we could pick different people, but hearing just a window into people's journeys. Often it is not just one person at one time. It's a whole team of people. It's a whole section of people. Or it's a whole, it's like making a difference in people's lives, helping others to become devoted followers of Christ. So other things that have gone on, obviously we've run kids clubs in, maybe not obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, we have run kids clubs in Eccles and Stretford throughout the year, and so grateful for people who are serving in that in different ways. We have hosted well over, it's impossible to count completely, but it's definitely well over 10,000 people in the Life Centre over the last year, being able to welcome them in to this building and this context. Life Youth gathers on a Friday, not just those that are young people from a church background, but regularly, probably something between 35 and 40 people are being hosted and engaged with on a Friday night here with the Life Youth guys. What a privilege. It's such a significant time of people's lives. What a privilege to be able to engage with young people, love them, express the heart of God, and, you know, pray that many will go on a similar journey than the journey that Katie has expressed herself. Most Fridays, Life Tots welcomes over 100 adults and toddlers, and the vast majority of those are from outside of the church family. It's an amazing context to be able to express something of the love of God. And there's a number of individuals who work really hard to enable that to happen. We obviously have our cafe that's open in an ongoing way, just as a place that people can come into and hopefully experience something of God's love and life and grace. And, you know, if we had time, I'd be able to get Emma to tell you various stories of individuals who have definitely said, I keep coming back here because of what I experience and because of something that's different. I'm sure it's partly the coffee, but there's something beyond the coffee that's there. Both Al and myself, you know, I've been a chaplain in Altrincham for a number of years. Al has recently become chaplain at Sale Rugby Club, at Sale Sharks. But that's a bit of a formal thing. Actually, of course, far more significant than a formal chaplaincy is what we each do in an informal capacity. The role we play as individuals in schools, workplaces, neighbourhoods, and families. She would never tell you herself, but Andrea has faithfully been working as a teaching assistant for years and went into an assembly last term, I think, and sort of vaguely tell something was up, and they had visitors in, and it was all a bit different because she'd been nominated as the national she was nominated to be for an award as the National Teaching Assistant of the Year. Yeah, absolutely. I'd have loved to have been there as the teachers were going on about what a difference it made to have Andrea in their class, supporting her. There she is. It's like just being light, being an expression of the kingdom. It's what we're all called to. We've had partnerships. We continue to have our partnerships with TLG, Safe Families, and The Message. All who are committed to this whole idea of transforming lives and communities. And we, at the start of 2018, we relaunched Life Church Heal Green. We invited others to come and be part of this. And we showed a video just at that point, the first Sunday of 2018. This is the video we showed. And then once you've watched this video, I'm going to ask Nick just to come and say a little bit about what's been going on in Heal Green over the last 12 months.
It's good, isn't it? Was that last year or the year before? I can't lose
last
track.
Year, 12 months ago.
It's a horrible thing seeing yourself on video, isn't it? Really embarrassing. But just to give a quick report in terms of what we've been up to in Heal Green over the last 12 months or so, we've been having a crack at reaching out to the community. Our mission statement, slogan, whatever you want to call it, is simply outward on outward. The church meets on Outward Road, and we're outward on Outward Road, and that's what we try and live by. So just a few things I've been involved with. Many of which have involved laughter, and some have involved tears as well, as we do our best to reach out. We've been interacting with Heal Green Community Group. That's been through Sue, really, your social media queen. Gets involved with the main local community group and doing stuff with them, joining in with their events. The main one being hosting a family day for a cancer fund research fundraiser. I think we had about 100 people come that day, kids and all sorts, just having a good family day at the church. The great thing was it was their day at our church rather than our day, if you get the subtle difference. Yeah. We've given out food hampers at Christmas. Great blessing there was we were given the hampers from Stockport Council to administrate ourselves, so we didn't have to make them up, just give them out, which is wonderful. We host a nursery 5 days a week, and we've ended up getting involved with the staff and some of the families as well, and praying for them, which has been great. We have our monthly York House visits. This is York House is a house across the road from where we meet as church, and they host a number of disabled adults who wouldn't be able to cope, I don't think, with normal church. So they come and have abnormal church with us once a month, where we do things a bit different. It's a bit of a riot. Stuff happens, but it's really good to bless them. We host a youth club called TAG. TAG stands for T-A-G, Talk About God, and that's the focus. And that's a thing we do joint with all the churches. We host it in our building, and Dave Fleming looks after that and looks after the leadership of that. As Dave and Liz really have a lot to do with our York House visits and help to facilitate that as well. We do a monthly thing called Who Let the Dads Out?
Well.
And that's been great. Pete Fox has really been responsible for that. So, and that's where dads can come along from the community and bring their kids. And the kids get entertained. We've got videos going on and games and all the stuff and what have you. And you get free breakfast as well. It really is a non-brainer. You know, if you're a guy who's got kids, where else would you be on a Saturday morning but doing that with other dads? And we put the newspapers out if you get a chance to have a read of them. You don't normally because you're too busy with the kids. But there's a bit of life in that as well. So that's monthly. Fortnightly, you may have seen the video, we have the Life Knitters at Smithy Croft, and Carol Ogilvy really kicked that off, didn't you? 3 years been going now? That's been brilliant. And they're knitting stuff for with Ensure Neonatal Units. That's right, they're coming on to say something this week there, aren't they? And that's been going on. Some great fellowship going on there. What's interesting, last few weeks I get phone calls from my wife who goes, and she always asks me questions. This week it was, who was Moses' wife? What was she called?
Zipporah.
Yeah, that's right. I knew straight away. it's like every week this one woman asks who was married to so-and-so in the Bible. I'm not quite sure where we're going with it. It's not like one other sort of questions with it, but that's happening at the moment. That's fortnightly, the Life Knitters. We do our Sunday services. We sort of, at the end of the year, we put on two carol services. We had about 50 at the first one, 60 at the second. It really was standing room only, and I'm not pretending they're all going to come back. But I'll tell you what, just to see the church full, it just fills you with faith and you think this is what we're heading towards. And just seeing folk who haven't got a clue there as well, right? And they're not just Christians, is great. And a lot of creative input from Giles and Claire, put on a great drama of that. And talking about Giles, we put on a Remembrance Sunday. A number of the community got in touch with us and said, could you put on a remembrance service at the Cenotaph at 11 o'clock? Because the main one was going on at 12 o'clock. So we said, okay, we'll do both. We'll go to the 12 o'clock one, we'll do one at 11 o'clock as well. So we had about 100 people come to our version at 11 o'clock from the community. And Giles did a monologue. And it was, you could hear a pin drop. It was wonderful, actually, just to see someone ministering to 100 people. Oh, you're there, Giles. Hi. make you go red. Just to see the community being blessed in that way. That was a real special moment. On that sort of theme, we also got involved with something called Carols Round the Tree, which is where the churches all together and the ratepayers try and pump out the local community. It's been going on for about 30 years. We more meet around a Christmas tree and we sing carols and we have a short message and what have you. There's about 1,000 people there.
Wow.
And again, I know most people coming out because they want an injection of Christmas spirit and a quick carol and a brass band and they're happy. But it's an opportunity for the community to express something, for us to bless the community and have some input. So we're chuffed about that as well. Looking at having two live groups in the new year, that's in the next few weeks. We ran it off, of course. Sam Lewis, are you here? I'm embarrassing, he's not here. But he did really well on that off, of course, with us as well, just reaching out to local community with that. We have our monthly mosque ladies' lunches, which is led by the Three Sues. That's right, isn't it? Pioneer that. Once a month, isn't it? Go and hang out with the Muslim ladies, have lunch with them. And there's opportunity to share the gospel there as well, which is wonderful. We do our street outreach. Mainly when I get kicked by Eunice, one of our ladies is on fire for doing street outreach. So we do stuff in the streets as well in the village. We've also been involved in doing something called, I call it the Outward Road Project, where basically our aim is to get in touch and speak to every person on Outward Road, which is a huge road, and give them a copy of John's Gospel to read. The basis being that we're not called to convert people, we are called to share the Gospel. And I worked it out, if we wait for all of Hill Green to come to the church to hear the Gospel, I'll be dead before it actually happens, before I get there at the rate we're going. So the idea basically is to take the Gospel where they're at and to present them with John's Gospel, to talk about that and to leave them to read the Gospel for themselves. So that's ongoing. We're also now chairing churches together in Hill Green, doing sort of projects together, reaching out into community. And I just want to thank people for supporting us, really. In particular, thank those who've come across to lead the worship. Just mentioned name check, Stephen, the band, the Roses, Dan and Colette, Mark, Paul, Ian, Rich and Laura. Thank you to everybody who's come along to help us and do our stuff on Sunday mornings. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, if that's all right. And I'm going to just bring us into land speedily. I'll touch in 2 weeks on what I haven't quite got to yet this morning. Because obviously, we've talked about devoted Christ followers, transforming lives and communities in Manchester and beyond. And our heart, absolutely, is not just. We're called to Manchester, but we're called to beyond Manchester as well. And Jesus made it very clear, didn't he? He talked about Jerusalem, said, you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, but he didn't stop there. Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. And it's been a privilege over the last year to be able to sow in over £20,000 from the church budget. And I know many of you are also supporting in different ways, individuals who are out at the ends of the earth, as it were, serving the nations. And maybe just for a moment, we'll put their pictures up and you can see Tim and Becky with a little attachment of Claire in the midst of their family, who are helping see a church planted in Ibiza. Tim and Emma Mundy, who are giving leadership to an NGO and are at the early stages of trying to see a disciple-making movement begin in Central Asia. Val and Ralph, who I had the privilege of visiting, along with seeing Gordon and Sophie as well in Uganda in March. Someone said this, I read this quote the other day. They said, you can't change the world, but you can change someone's world. Well, I have to say, in spending time with Val and Ralph, I realized they were changing many people's worlds. And it was a real privilege to see the difference they were making in Uganda. Bob and Carol in India, and Suzanne Thomas in Sierra Leone. And I think everyone other than Suzanne has had a personal visit from someone in the Life Church family over this last year. Our support is not just financial. Our heart is to make sure that we're supporting people pastorally, prayerfully, spiritually, at every level, because they are an expression of our mission and our vision. And it's a privilege to be able to engage with them. And it's been my privilege over the last year to work with churches across our region. And we always felt God called us to be a church that looked to support and resource other churches. And whether it be in Carnarvon or Bangor, or better try and get these right, Carnarvon, Bangor, Oswestry, Bury, Blackpool, Ormskirk, I think I've done. It's a privilege to work in an ongoing way with each of those churches. And many of you came along to Maximize last year. I want to say thank you so much for engaging, and I hope it helped you to catch a flavour of some of the other churches. We'll say more about that next time. I guess I really want to say thank you as we finish this morning. Thank you for whatever way you have played your part in all that God's called us to. Thank you for serving. Thank you for giving. Thank you for what you've enabled. And what we've seen this year, we believe, is just the start of a whole lot more of what God wants us to be engaged in and to be doing as we look forward. And my question would be, as we look forward, at the moment, would you be one of those 1,000 devoted Christ followers? Obviously, we haven't got 1,000 yet. What I mean is, just because you're sitting in this seat doesn't necessarily mean you're a devoted Christ follower who's engaged in transforming lives and communities in Manchester. But our passion and prayer is that that's what we should all be a part of. And I hope that in 2 weeks' time, you'll catch the heart for that in this coming year as we look to share that vision and also as a leadership team commission us as a church family to go and play our part in seeing lives and communities transformed across Manchester and beyond. Maybe we could stand together, and as we finish, we're going to just, in worship, offer ourselves to the Lord. And as we do that, the offering baskets are going to come round.